Good morning. The reflection of today is taken from Luke chapter 5, verses 33 to 39. The setting of today's gospel is the home of Levi, the tax collector. We see this in Luke chapter 5, verse 29. Having experienced a conversion to repentance, Levi throws a banquet for Jesus in his house, and present are a crowd of tax collectors. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has come to call all, and that includes sinners. However, this calling was not merely some happy-clappy calling, but a call to repentance. You see, the grace of God is free, but make no mistake, it is not cheap. Interestingly, seated among the guests are the Pharisees and their scribes. One wonders what these purists were doing, sitting in the company of those whom they considered sinners. Perhaps it was their desire to take down Jesus that made them compromise on their own beliefs, for we are told that they came from every village of Galilee and from Jerusalem. Having lost the first argument to Jesus about his fellowship meal with Levi and the other sinners, the Jews now train their guns to cause division among Jesus' disciples. They compare his disciples with those of his cousin John the Baptist's disciples. The disciples of John the Baptist are drawn into the same corner of the disciples of the Pharisees as ones who fast and pray frequently, while the disciples of Jesus are portrayed as gluttons and drunkards. Incidentally, the theme of eating and drinking runs all through the Gospel of Luke, prompting one commentator to say, Jesus ate his way through the Gospels. In any case, an unsavory accusation has been thrown at Jesus to portray his brand of teaching as one that strays away from that which is practiced by the Pharisees. It is important to note that the Jews observe two great national fasts. However, the pious Jews voluntarily fasted twice a week. It is this weekly fasting that is made to sound normative of pious behavior. Jesus responds by evoking the imagery of the Old Testament. The figure of the bridegroom was applied in the Old Testament and Judaism to represent God's union with his people, and that union was embodied in the coming of the Messiah, who was often referred to as the bridegroom. What then is the need for the bridegroom's disciples to fast when the object of their fast was in their midst? Now that Jesus, the bridegroom, was in their midst, he brought into focus the beliefs and the practices of the Old Testament law. In short, Jesus wanted his listeners to apply a new mind to a new message. This does not mean that the law had been discarded, for the law, according to Jesus, is good. But it requires a new mindset and a new approach with the coming of the bridegroom, who is Jesus. The resistance in putting on a new mindset to the message of Jesus was as futile as pouring new wine into old wineskins or sewing a patch of new cloth on an old garment. You see, if you pour new wine in old wineskins, the new wine will ferment and the expansion would burst the skins which have already been worn out by previous expansions. So too with the new piece of cloth, which will shrink and tear the old garment. Jesus did not come to promote a compromise formula of faith. His approach was not some patchwork formula, but rather one that came with newness of thought, yet respectful of the commandments of old. We must understand and not misunderstand the mind of Jesus. Nowhere is Jesus permitting us to do away with fasting. In the Gospel of Matthew, we are exhorted to fast with the words, "When you fast, do not put on a gloomy look." Jesus is not limiting fasting to "if you fast," but mandating it as a way of life. However, he is clear that there is a time, a season, and an understanding for all our actions. Fasting is a value if it is done for the right reason. We should fast because we are in need of his mercy and his help. Have a blessed day.